Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick 6 brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. Did you like hearing the agent, Rick Smith, tell the Midday Show that his client, News Bears head coach Ben Johnson, has final say over personnel?
So the questions I asked were, you know, very direct in the sense that, you know, are you married to this roster? If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys, whether, no matter how much you like or dislike them? This is basically Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, his staff, tying themselves at the hip, starting to break down this roster, getting understanding what Ben's vision looks like. And that's the key. Ben has an absolute vision. That's all they ever needed. They needed a clear vision, and now they've got it. And when you get that vision, your job gets a lot easier. Now it's just go finding those players. And they will not have any interference whatsoever from the president, from the ownership. They'll be advised, of course, but they will not say no.
That's Rick Smith on with the Midday Show. He, the agent of Ben Johnson, GM Ryan Poles, basically said the same on the flagship station. Nonetheless, has Ryan Poles been demoted, in your opinion?
Well, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, and I suppose we haven't used the word demoted. But the reality is that the guy who's making the big coin, the guy who has the years of service, the guy that is covered for years to come, and he's making big money, that's the guy with the power. You know, follow the money. And Ryan Poles is not that guy. Ryan Poles, whether he has 1 year left or 2 years left, or whether we know exactly what his contract is, he is basically working for Ben Johnson. Now, Ben Johnson described it as them being in lockstep, and he looked right at Ryan Poles, and they kind of nodded through it. It was interesting. Rick Smith also, you know, he's been doing the rounds, and he's also talked about how the time that the two men spent on Zoom, the portion of that Zoom meeting, they you know, got locked in together and understood where they were going to go. So, I mean, I don't know if Ryan Poles is surprised to hear what Rick Smith had to say. But he did say that he will have said that Ben Johnson will have say over personnel. He did say that. He said that, yeah, like basically he gets to pick his team, which is big deal. So I think technically when you go from being the number one football guy and now you got somebody working for you and now you've helped hire someone who makes more than you, I would say you've been demoted or, okay.
Well, they're also talking about joined at the hip. I think that's also important. And I guess some would say, right, some would think that Ryan Poles should be happy to be joined at the hip with the Bears. Ryan Poles should still be happy to be an employee of the Bears. And this might have given him, we don't know, or might get him a contract extension that a lot of people didn't think he was going to get. So there's that part of it, too.
Well, I'm one of those people, Dustin, and I think that you – are exactly right. As time goes on, I do think that Ryan Poles is likely to get a contract extension. So of all the people who have celebrated Ben Johnson's arrival in Chicago at Hallis Hall, nobody will have any more reason to celebrate it than Ryan Poles. I do think that he will stay because they want to be in lockstep philosophically. I don't think that's realistic. They will be definitely compatible football co-workers, and this is the brain trust of the Bears moving forward. But there's no question that the guy with the strongest voice is the guy with the biggest salary. Ben Johnson will win and break all ties. So for Ryan Poles, his perspective from the day that he appeared next to Kevin Warren and looking very much like the underling to the point where through the press conference and now hearing from the agent, Rick Smith still talking about all of that, we have now in a new power structure for Ryan Poles, it's better to be diminished than dismissed because he was probably closer to being dismissed before this whole process began. Now he's here with a level of job security, even if it's not with as much power as he had before.
We can talk about this later. Do you think Trent Baalke pushed back on that? Is that one of the reasons that
Baalke might have? I don't know as much about that situation, but it would make sense. He also has had more experience being a general manager, yeah. So he has been there and done that in a way that Ryan Poles hasn't.
Right.
You know, a guy 3 years on the job is more unlikely to push back at whatever role they have for him. He just probably wants to stay and be part of something he hasn't been a part of.
That's the question that needs to be asked.
According to reports, the Bears have 14 scouts or assistants at the Senior Bowl practices down in Alabama. But not Ben Johnson or Ryan Poles, at least not yet. Should they be there, or does assembling a staff take precedent over scouting talent?
I saw this debated underway yesterday on social media, and I find it somewhat amusing that the Senior Bowl has become this gathering spot for the mini league convention. The season's still going on. The real league convention is basically the NFL Combine, but if not everybody is there, you start to wonder why. What are they doing? Aren't they committed to scouting? Don't you want to have all the eyes on all the prospects? I don't know what to make of it. I don't think it's a big deal. I think Ben Johnson's trying to finish off some staff decisions. He's got to meet with guys at Hallis Hall. I don't know if he's going down at any point of this week. Maybe we'll find out from Dan Weider at 7:25. Ryan Poles, probably same type of thing. There's a change process. I think we have to give them a little bit of grace or understanding. They've got the eyes there. They got the technology. They can see things. There's nothing that beats a person to person and seeing something with your own eyes. But I don't want to make too much of this. It is something that is the first kind of real chance of getting a look at some of these guys. But it's a busy time at Hallis Hall. So I do think that the metamorphosis, the transformation of the organization, I think outweighs the chance to evaluate some of these prospects.
Could we at least be told that Ian Cunningham is down there, or is he like Mike McCarthy? He's taken himself out of consideration and he's preparing for the 2026 hiring cycle.
Did he not get the job in Jacksonville? Is he still in play for that?
I don't know. I'm asking. I mean, is Ian Cunningham down there? Is the assistant general manager? Is he also locked at the hip with Ben? I think it's a big deal. Go find your offensive line coach down in Mobile. Okay, go find your starting center down in Mobile. Go find your left guard down in Mobile since you're going to buy the Chiefs' right guard. Okay, I think it is a big deal. Now, one of the words in here, and I know we like words, we speak them all day long.
We love words.
Yet Is that the key word yet, that they're not there yet, so they're going to get there? But they're having a press conference at Hallis Hall on Thursday for us to officially hear from these coordinators. You would assume that Ben Johnson will be in that room, and I guess we're going to assume that Ryan Poles will be in that room. Is Ryan Poles not allowed to go to a college football game unless Ben Johnson's there because they're locked at the hip on personnel decisions?
Wow.
I'm just saying, I think it is a big deal because there are lots of holes to fill, okay, especially on the offensive line.
If they're not there today, there's no sense in going. If they're not there today and tomorrow, everybody leaves tomorrow. You go out, you go fly in tomorrow to Mobile, and you'll see all the coaches in the NFL leaving. No one stays around for the game. I think tonight is tonight the seafood medley. That's one of the big nights where people show up at the hotel for the seafood medley. And there's another, like, you know, late night drinking party if you're still around on Thursday. But there's no one there at practice on Friday. The days to be down there are already passing. And if they're not going to be down there tomorrow, then there would be literally no reason to make that trip. It's like a coach's convention. You go down there, you can meet different people, you can talk about stuff. If you're in a hiring situation, you will be overrun by people down there. It's just, there's a lot of people looking for jobs or speaking on behalf of someone, whatever. So I think they're better off being at Hallis Hall and putting together their coaching staff. That is the priority, without doubt. There are a lot of really good players down there. Over the years, success at the Senior Bowl usually will spell success in the NFL. I believe Brian Urlacher was an MVP there and wound up in Chicago with a Hall of Fame career. You know, Michael Hayes was an MVP of the Senior Bowl, and the Bears drafted him, and it didn't work out as well. So I just think that, as you say, David, you get all your scouts down there, you get all your people down there, you get all the hullabaloo. What I find interesting about this is 14 scouts and assistants. The assistants would probably be the guys that are looking for a job that may or may not be back. So they're not there working on behalf of the Bears. They're there for their own, and the team should send them. I think it's a good thing to help them out in case they don't have a job. And you're keeping them on hold until you can figure things out. I would imagine that they have plenty of reports, plenty of people down there, plenty of information coming in. And then, you know, you do a lot of your interviews and in-person stuff down there, but you can do a lot of that at the combine. So I don't think it's franchise altering that they're not there.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, it's a valid question, certainly on the minds of a lot of people.
That's the voice of Casey Johnson. He's with you guys at 8:25 this morning. Will Patrick Williams remain out of the starting lineup tonight in Boston, or is starting him a necessity since Coby White is still out with the ankle? Zach LaVine will miss the first of three excused games due to personal business. Regardless of whether Williams is more comfortable off the bench, what will Billy Donovan do?
You know, I imagine Billy will do what he said, which is what's best for the team. In other words, not what's best for Patrick Williams. If he decides that they need his ability to defend, that they're short too many guys, and he's got length, and they can't go with the small lineup again against the Celtics, then I would imagine, I would not be surprised if Patrick Williams starts this game. Because of the situation, you know, the personal issue is that Zach and his wife are having their third child. So, you know, God bless them. I you just got to be careful about how you say that. It's not like the guy's holding out for the trade deadline or something. But, yeah, I think the Patrick Williams story is still front of mind. And they had him come off the bench, and he said he was a lot more comfortable, and it makes sense since that's what he did in college. But, you know, he only played a year in college. What are we talking about? Whatever works for Billy is fine by me.
Well, this is very interesting to me. Did I miss this? And I might have missed this. Did Patrick Williams or did Billy Donovan say that Patrick Williams is more comfortable coming off the bench?
I believe they both said that.
Patrick Williams complimented Billy Donovan on the communication. I think both kind of wanted to suggest that he was more comfortable the other night because he had success doing it.
All right. Well, so if you look at the depth chart, and we always like to look at depth charts when we're talking about football, you know, Dalen Terry's the next guy up. That's Zach LaVine's guy off the bench, Dalen Terry. And he had a nice night the other night. Matas Buzelis was in the role of the sixth man the other night. Obviously, Io is going to be starting in place of Coby White. So go ahead, leave Patrick Williams over on the bench and get him up, and you know, hopefully he's playing. Hopefully the game matters, right? Hopefully the game, there's a reason for him to be on the court in the fourth quarter. But again, the Bulls are a 15-plus point
underdog.
Do
you care, Dustin? I mean, will you be mad if we come in tomorrow and he has started?
Well, I just don't get it. I mean, I pick, you know, it's kind of like, but that's the Bulls, right? Pick a lane. Is he a starter or is he a bench player? And is he more, again, he, okay, there's a difference between he complimented him on the communication.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, you never want to hear a guy say, I'd rather come off the bench than start, right? No, you don't want that. It's like saying, I don't want the ball in the ninth. I only want it in the sixth. Like, you want your guy to be a starter. You want your guy to be in key high leverage situations.
Yeah, this isn't that hard. That he was coming off the bench the other night because they had a full complement of players to choose from. That was his best role. Tonight they don't. They're missing two of their best players. Patrick Williams is going to start in all likelihood, I would expect, because you don't want to fall behind 12-2 because he can't guard anybody. Patrick Williams, despite all of the people who are critics of him, present company included, he does guard people, and he does give you your best perimeter defensive team. Against the Celtics group that shoots the threes and can beat you in a variety of ways, you need defense. So I would be surprised if he doesn't start, despite what they said after the big victory the other night, because after the victory the other night, it was true in that moment. The NBA is a fluid situation. 82 games. Things change every single day. Zach's gone. Congratulations to him and his family. Coby White's gone. He could be back as soon as the next game.
Yep.
But tonight, Patrick Williams should start.
It's a good question.
The Bears' most pressing personnel issue has to be the improvement on the offensive line. Who would you recommend bringing back on that unit? Polls had mentioned that Ryan Bates, who played three games, has recovered from the concussion that put him on the IR. Can you trust him? Would you re-sign Matt Pryor, Coleman Shelton, Tevin Jenkins, Jake Curhan, Larry Borum, who are all headed to free agency?
You've got a blank easel. You've got to wipe everything else out of your mind. You have Darnell Wright at the right side. I think you monitor Braxton Jones and his recovery from the broken leg on the left side and see where he is at. You penciled those guys in. I don't know. It's worth considering with Ben Johnson. We don't know a lot about what he thinks and values in offensive linemen. Is Darnell Wright, at this point of his career, worth considering moving to left tackle if this is going to be your big guy on your offensive line? on this, by the same token, Ben Johnson comes from a group in Detroit where the dominant lineman is the right tackle. So what does he really believe, and what traits is he looking for? This is what goes back to the football conversation. This is the new set of eyes through which we'll be watching the Bears over the next several years, hopefully a very long time. So, but those two tackles are the only ones I think you look at as saying must stay. The other names on this list are forgettable, and I do think they're expendable. Maybe a guy like Coleman Shelton, because he has some experience and served you well, you would bring back on a very team-friendly deal. But you're starting over, and you're starting over with a set of criteria that we're really not privy to just yet. So I think you have to expect a lot of change.
Yeah, not a fan of this list at all as far as bringing these guys back. Here was a sneaky good pickup, though, a guy that might not be on everyone's radar that can play center, I think, at a high level. Keep an eye out and an ear out for the name Ricky Stromberg, who the Bears picked up late, who is a injury casualty for the Commanders. He's a guy that might be your starting center next year. Ricky Stromberg.
Wow. It's going deep in the weeds.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think what's fascinating about this is, you know, as you mentioned, Braxton Jones has an injury. You don't know where he's going to be at the start of the season. You know, you feel good about Darnell Wright, period, end of story. That's where they are on the offensive line. As far as Braxton's concerned, you know, you want the guy to be healthy, and if nothing else, to be your swing tackle. Hopefully he can be your starting tackle, because they have a lot of work to do. They're going to need starting players. I mean, we're not talking about backups here. Kieran Amagaji is still there. So between the three of them, are you covered at tackle? That's a tough thing to say. As far as what you're looking at here, I don't know how you could possibly trust what you got out of Ryan Bates. First, he goes down to Panama, and he has this stem cell surgery to help his shoulder. Then he gets back from that. Then he has a concussion. He played three games. And are you moving him to center now? Is that part of the plan? That was seemingly the plan a year ago. So I think you need two players from outside the organization. You need a starter in free agency, a starting player. It'd be great if you got two, but there's not a deep group there, and it's costing a lot of money. If you got one guy, that would be awesome. I would draft at least two offensive linemen before the whole thing was said and done, and I might do it fairly high. And then as far as these guys are concerned, Coleman Shelton played every game. That's unbelievable. I wouldn't have expected that. I would try to get Matt Pryor back, because if nothing else, he proved a good backup who came in and started and did a serviceable job. I don't know what the price tag would be. I don't think you can bring back Tevin Jenkins. Jake Curran's a name. Larry Borum, that's an interesting one. Do you bring him back? Probably not.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, Stacey, you may, beginning at 9 a.m. With all but the Saints' job filled among the NFL head coaching cycle this time around, who won the hiring cycle? Which team has done the best? Who's the loser as far as right now? And what would the Bears have done if Ben Johnson had went elsewhere?
I like this one. I think it's a good question. I think that, it's hard to look at the Dallas Cowboys ending up with Brian Schottenheimer, and that's not a shot at him, and saying that's a vast improvement over Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy may well have been the guy that you hired here. Maybe him or Pete Carroll, maybe an experienced guy. I don't know that you just, you know, figure you wait for Joe Brady and see how that works out. So I think that it would have been one of those guys that the Bears, that's the direction they would have gone. I think that, Vrabel's a really good coach who waited for his turn. It sounds like McCarthy is now going to be doing that. It sounds like the Saints know who they're going to hire once Philadelphia is done and once the Super Bowl's over. And I think that the Bears, if they didn't do the best, they did as well as any team. I would have to say there are probably two A hires. I don't want to diss Pete Carroll, but I think that, you know, there. Did you see that he's interviewed Daryl Bevel yesterday?
Yeah.
And there's talk about them trying to get Russell Wilson. Like, they're going to bring the team back together.
NFL loves reunions.
In Vegas, that seems unwise to me.
Where do old people go when they're done with their careers? They go to Vegas.
Is that it? They play the slots?
Wow.
Oh, boy. All right. But that's. I think the Bears did real well. I'd give them a nice high letter grade.
Yeah, I hope they did really well. I mean, this is kind of like, did they get the right quarterback? Did they miss on Jaden Daniels? Caleb Williams was far and away most people's 9 out of 10 draft nicks, 9 out of 10 NFL experts. You know, Caleb Williams was QB1 by a long shot, and then it was Jaden Daniels. And everybody said in this cycle that Ben Johnson was the home run hire. I think we all thought Mike Vrabel was going to the Patriots, and that was kind of a two-foot putt. I do find it really interesting. I don't know if we'd ever be able to find out. I don't know if Rick, the agent for Ben Johnson, you know, on another podcast or another trip, would know or be willing to publicly tell us if Ben had gone to the Raiders, who would have been number two. I think Pete Carroll can at least put the Raiders back to respectability, not make them a laughingstock of the league. Very interesting, too, to hear the owner of the Raiders yesterday talking about how he felt like the organization had their head chopped off when they had to get rid of Gruden for the emails and things like that that he sent out. So, yeah, the Bears get an A, and I think the Jaguars, Duval, gets an F.
Really?
Objectively, the Bears and the Patriots are in the same boat. They feel very good about the coaching search, and they feel like they could not have done better. Both coaches in their respective cities are great fits. Vrabel for the Patriots, who now has three assistant coaches with head coaching experience. He knows what he's doing there because he's done it before, and he's very comfortable in that environment. Ben Johnson, just getting to know him here, but sounds very comfortable with Chicago, which was a destination place for him that we didn't know. So the Bears and Patriots have to feel very good. Those are the A-plus hires in this process. Pete Carroll's probably a B out in Vegas. He's going to do what they need and restore some credibility. I don't know what the Cowboys and the Jaguars are thinking. I think they're both a little bit lost. Jerry Jones admitted that because this is a huge risk with Brian Schottenheimer. Wow. The qualifications, what are they for him? He has been a long time, but I would feel very concerned if I were a Cowboy fan. The Saints still have yet to hire anybody, and I think the second choice for the Bears might have been Mike McCarthy. I think he expected that to be the situation. Maybe he didn't know what Ben Johnson had planned, but I think Mike McCarthy was the backup plan in Chicago. Now he's going to take a year off. It worked for Mike Vrabel. Maybe it'll work for Mike McCarthy.
Pick six.
The Cubs officially announced the addition of closer Ryan Pressly and utility guy John Birdie. So, is Jed Hoyer done with less than 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers report to Arizona?
Well, I hope not. I really hope not. I don't know what else that Cubs could add, but I would love to be surprised. I would be surprised if they were able to land Alex Bregman now, because it sounds like he's got other options that are more lucrative and long-term. But I want to be excited about this Cubs season if you're a Cub fan, and I just don't know to the extent that they've changed the roster is enough change for me. I love the idea of Kyle Tucker, but you know what I really loved? The idea of Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger in the same lineup. I'm getting over it, okay, before you start texting. But I do think they're at least one more move away from feeling good about that lineup on a regular basis and feeling good about this pitching staff.
Well, they definitely have to have, unless the answer to, you know, protecting Matt Shaw, if that is John Birdie, I don't think that's enough to protect him. So I think there needs to be something else there, at least in camp. There's a lot of names. Where's Pete Alonso playing baseball next year? Is he, you know, does he want to do a Cody Bellinger thing here in Chicago at Wrigley Field, trying to pump out 40 home runs, you know, out of right field? Is that something that he would want to do and then reset his clock and try to go the route of a Cody Bellinger? So I hope not, but I think maybe they add one more arm and that's about it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there was a lot of guys that they've signed, just like the, you know, Poteets of the world. I don't know. I'm very curious to see what they look like. I think they're done. I think they're I don't know that they have like a ton of moves left. I mean, never say never, and you go down to the wire on all this stuff. But have you heard any rumors, or is there information out there about that? You know, the last thing we really heard was that they were talking maybe getting a short-term deal done with Bregman, and all of a sudden he's got suitors, and it's not going to happen.
Leverage.
Right?
It was the Cubs as leverage. If he signs elsewhere.
They were using him as
Or he was using them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. I just mean, like, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. You know, Pete Alonso, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. We would have heard a lot more about that. It just feels like, is there another move to be made? Is somebody going to fall open or something might turn up? Yes. But I think this they might want to see what this looks like when they get to camp and make a decision based on that. Who knows?
Mm, okay.
I know you're mad about that.
I'm not mad.
I wish I could tell you that they're not mad. Well, you're disappointed.
Disappointed. That's okay. Probably a better word. I'm not mad.
I know you're really angry right now.
I'm going to lose it.
All right.
I won't lose it.
We've got the extra point next. Molly and Haw on the score.